Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today, I'm chatting with Pam Grout. Pam is a world traveler, best-selling author, and mother. She describes herself as a hopeless romantic who believes the world is a beautiful place, that people are noble, and that anything is possible. Her life is a testament to the creative power of positive, directive thoughts and intentions. Today, Pam and I are going to be talking about some of the techniques that she uses to create her reality, as well as her most recent book titled E-Squared, 9 Do-It-Yourself Energy Experiments That Prove Your Thoughts Create Your Reality. I love that title. I love the concept of the book. So I'm so excited to have Pam on the show. So, Pam, let me just go ahead and welcome you. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Oh, great. Before we dive in to talk about the book, because as I said, I'm really excited about that concept, give me a little bit of background about yourself and, you know, how did you begin to create your reality?
Well, I think I've been aware of this for a long time, and I don't know that I knew it as such, you know, like as it is in these principles, but I've always known that whatever I focused on, you know, I got more of. And I used to read some of those books by Norman Vincent Peale, you know, Power of Positive Thinking and that sort of thing. And I think it was mostly couched in that terms, but I used it to great effect in my own life. And I decided that, you know, this is a principle, these principles have been out there for a while, but people maybe aren't using them. And I think some people are kind of skeptical about them or they're not exactly sure how they work. Yeah. So I wanted this book to be really easy to understand, and I wanted to actually have proof in it so people could test them out for themselves. I'm not trying to preach anybody, say, hey, this is how it works. I just want to say, this is how I have found it to work, and I'd like you to try it for yourself. So it gives people an opportunity to, you know, to see if it works. They don't have to just take it on faith. They can try it out for themselves.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And we will definitely get into some of those techniques or the experiments later on in the interview. But I notice in the people that I deal with, I'm a coach, and so I coach a lot of people in this concept of creating reality, and obviously it's the focus of my show. But I notice a lot of people get in their own way when it comes to manifesting. And so what are a technique or two that some people can practice to really start to let go of holding on to what they feel is reality and allow their intentions to manifest?
Well, I think you really hit it on the head. I think what happens is people think they're focusing on what they want, but they're actually focusing more on the absence of what they want. Mm. And one of the little techniques I always like to say, I mean, just because it's kind of catchy, is just set it and forget it. You know, once you make that intention, you've created it. I mean, it's out there. All you have to do now is get into, you know, on the same floor as I talked about in the book, you know, like what we've created might be up on the 17th floor and we're still down on the first floor. Mm-hmm. So we have, you know, to get our consciousness to that place that's up on the 17th floor. Mm-hmm. So it's just really important to just let go and to let the universe do it. And the other thing that happens, I think, is that we think we know how it's going to happen. Like, here's the perfect example. Like, oh, okay, I want $1 million. So I think what I want to do is win the lottery. So, you know, how many people want to win the lottery? Well, that's fine and great, and you might win the lottery. However, that gives you one little avenue for that $1 million to come. Mm-hmm. If you just set it, you know, I want the $1 million, and then forget it, the universe can, you know, come up with many gazillion ways to, you know, to provide whatever good is coming to you. And so I think, but we try too hard, you know, we think about it too hard. So it's really important to set it and then just let go and just get your beliefs aligned with that new reality, because it's there. It's just a matter of, you know, lining up to where it can come to you. And I think for me, the best, the very best way to open up those channels is through joy and happiness, because I think a lot of times, you know, we're working so hard, we're trying so hard. And I think for me, I mean, my whole life changed. I mean, like I said, I've been practicing this for a long time. But once I got it that, you know, being happy was the way, that's the grease, you know, that brings the flow in. So just being joyful and happy all the time, which sounds like a pipe dream, but it's not really. I mean, we decide, you know, we have that control over, you know, our lives and how we choose to approach it. So I just think that's the real important thing is to be joyful and to always look at gratitude and appreciation. And mm-hmm. and as I say in my new book, E-Cube, that's going to come out, you know, about a year from now, mm-hmm. is, you know, you have to play with the toys you already have, which mm-hmm. is what appreciation is, you know.
Yeah, that is really true. And it's kind of timely for this time of year when, you know, we've just had Thanksgiving, given thanks, and then a lot of people are then out the next day shopping, trying to get more and more and more. So they're not satisfied with what they have.
Uh-huh.
And so they do remain, I'm guessing, in that state of dissatisfaction. And as I'm gathering from what you were saying, the universe mirrors what the person is feeling. So if they're feeling dissatisfied, they're going to have more opportunities to be dissatisfied.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the set it and forget it. I've not heard it that concise, but that's, I love the way that sounds. You know, it's just so simple. And it is, as you're saying, just let go of the attachment of how it's going to come. So you use the example of, you know, getting $1 million. A lot of people think in terms of, oh, I want that perfect mate, and they think that they know what that person's going to look like, what they're going to sound like, what they're going to be doing for a living, when in fact it's more of just trying to cultivate that feeling of what it will feel, how joyful you will feel to have that wonderful matched person in your life, and then leave it open to whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, because really when you think about it, you know, the faulty settings that we've got in our minds and, you know, what we've created so far, well, do you really want those same settings to be creating mm-hmm. what's coming in? So the more mm-hmm. you can let go, mm-hmm. the more all this brilliance and, because the universe is always, or the FP, or the field of potentiality is what I call
mm-hmm.
it,
nice.
It's always going to have bigger and better plans than anything you could ever come up with. So, you know, the more you let go, I mm-hmm. think, the better it is for everybody.
Yeah, it really creates that space for, you know, ultimate and infinite amounts of things to come in, because as you're saying, our brains can only conceive of what we know. It can't conceive of what we don't know. But say your term again. I use universe. What word did you use?
Oh, the field of infinite potentiality. Yeah, I call it the universe. I mean, I call it God. I call
I know.
It all kinds of different things. You know, the name's not important, that
it's
you
not.
Use it and that you're, you know, in tune with it. You know, you find
yeah.
the portal to attach to it and to
mm-hmm.
be connected to it is what's important.
Yeah, and to understand that whatever, again, whatever label you're putting on it, that it is infinite potential, a lot more than our little brains can conceive of.
Right, and the truth is, I just said that wrong. I said, oh, well, to get attached to it, we are attached to it. I mean, that's why all this stuff works. We're constantly attached to it. But
mm-hmm.
what we do is we have those blocks, or we live
mm-hmm.
in a smaller consciousness, and so we're not aware of our connection to all that is. And we are. We are connected to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, the law of attraction or setting intentions does work,
mm-hmm.
is because we are connected to everything. And the only thing that stops us from realizing that is the blocks that we've erected, you know, either our feelings of unworthiness or any
mm-hmm.
number of things that come up for us in our human thinking, our little pea brains.
Right.
That don't always think big. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It definitely doesn't. So you have a wonderful affirmation that I know you have, I've read on blogs, that you say to yourself every day. Will you share with listeners what that is?
Yeah, I love it. I call it my AA 2.0 program because it has two steps. You know, we've all heard of the first AA that has 12 steps. This AA program has two steps. And the first step is I get up every morning, I say something amazingly awesome is going to happen to me today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the amazing, the AA, the amazingly
mm-hmm.
awesome, which
right.
may not be the greatest grammar, but, you know, it works for me. And then the step two of my AA 2.0 program is I have what I call my power posse, and it's a group of friends, and we text each other blessings, three blessings that happened from the day before. I mean, that's like the first thing we do each morning.
Wonderful.
And the thing that's really cool about that is it has to be a different blessing. Like, I'm really, you know, really, really emphasizing the power of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always been a person that was counting my blessings, but I tended to count the same blessings, like, oh, I'm so grateful for my really cool career, I'm so grateful
mm-hmm.
for my daughter, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And those are important, but to realize, like, I feel like I'm this scout, like I'm Lewis and Clark out there
mm-hmm.
scouting for blessings,
love
and
it.
Every day I'm finding, you know, these most amazing things happen, because that's where my intention is, that's where my, you know, focus is, and again, something amazingly awesome is happening, so it's my job to go out and find it.
Mm-hmm. I like that what you were just saying, that scouting, I believe was the word you used, and it is does require somebody to get into that mindset of being open, being willing to observe, being willing to be present, and look at things maybe a little bit differently to find the blessing in them.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people say when I start to talk about this or get on the subject, they say, well, it's hard. You know, it's hard to always stay present. It's hard to be mindful. What's your response to that?
Oh, in fact, I wrote a blog post the other day that there's the most dangerous four-letter word in the English language is the word "it's hard."
Yeah.
Because even people that know these principles say that. I find myself saying it. I mean, I've banned the word from my vocabulary, and when I find myself saying it, I, you know, rewrite it. Or I'll say something like, oh, well, up until now it might have been hard or whatever. But, you know, honestly, we say things are hard, and they don't have to be. In fact, this friend of mine, she got me this little, that was easy button, you know, those buttons that Staples puts out.
So I've
got that sitting there on my desk when I work, and that was easy. But anyway, I like that sentiment, and I do think that we have a tendency to use that. Oh, it's difficult or challenging when it's really easy, and our belief that it is easy makes it easy. So we continually cement in that. Oh, but it's hard to meditate. Oh, but it's hard to do this or that. And I think we do ourselves a real disservice when we continue to repeat that over and over again. Even though it feels like that's the truth, but really as potent manifestors, we have to really be willing to be people of vision and to see what's possible and to be open to what's possible rather than just repeating what is. I mean, I think, but we're supposed to face reality, you know, everybody says, we've got to face the facts. Well, you know what? The reality is only the reality because that's what we've been facing over and over again. That's what we've been, you know, repeating. And they say history, you know, we've got to know about a history or we'll repeat it. Well, actually the opposite is true, that if we keep repeating history, then we just keep repeating it, you know. So it's really important to open up to any possibility, and any possibility is there if you're not so hooked on history or what happened yesterday.
Right. So, again, approaching each day fresh, which is what I love about your mantra. You know, something amazingly awesome is going to happen to me today. It's wondering what is that going to be. It just feels so uplifting. And so, again, it opens up to all possibilities. Yesterday was yesterday, and today there's something new is going to happen. It's great. And, I'm watching the clock, as I do, because that's what I'm supposed to do. So I want to talk about E squared. So tell me about the book, what inspired you to write it, and what you're kind of hoping that readers will get from it.
Well, I used to say that Jesus said this, but I think somebody told me that it was Paul that said it. It's one we've all heard, faith without works is dead. So, you know, you can have all the faith you want, but until you're actually putting it into practice, and that's what this book does. It has these 9 experiments, and you put this stuff into practice. You see it with your own 2 eyes, you feel it with your own 2 hands, and you realize, wow, this really does work. I've got this one experiment with the Einstein wands, and people see that, and they're just blown away. I mean, they see it, they think a positive thought, you know, how the wands open up, and then they think a negative thought, and they come back together. And, I mean, you cannot see that without realizing, wow, what I'm thinking is really making an impact. So that little nudge, you know, that's kind of what, you know, what I call the 4-minute mile, you know, that old story about once the guy ran the 4-minute mile, we all realized that we could do it. Or, I mean, I can't run, but you know what I mean, that more people could do it.
Sure.
So it's really important to see things, and then you, oh, well, it's possible. Once you see it, then, you know, more people could do it. And what's possible for one is possible for all.
Absolutely. And so the term experiments implies testing of something, but
yes, and I even have it set up like scientific. I mean, I set it up the way scientists do in the lab. I've got lab report sheets. I've got, you know, there's a hypothesis, a theory, and then, you know, oftentimes in the scientific method, they use a thing called an either or statement, or if this should happen, this will happen. And it's, you know, they're also prove that it doesn't work. I mean, you know, it can go either way. You have to go in with an open mind. So everything's framed in those terms. So there's 9 spiritual principles that I've used to practice in my life, like the world is abundant and strangely accommodating. I mean, that's one of the experiments. Whatever you focus on expands, that's another one. And I have funny names for each of the experiments, like the Volkswagen Jetta experiment is one that, you know, our thoughts go out into the field and bring back whatever we're focusing upon. And I call it the Volkswagen Jetta because it's that principle that you decide to get a new car and you think, oh, I'm the only person that's going to have this car. And then suddenly you notice they're everywhere. And I think that's what happens a lot. You know, what we're looking for is what we find. So anyway, each one has a fun little name, and then each one is a spiritual principle that, again, I've practiced, that I've used in my own life over the last, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And then I set up an actual framework. There's lab report sheets, everything to for people to try it out. You write down the date. You write down, whatever the intention is. I mean, each one of them is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they're real specific instructions on how to carry out these experiments.
Well, it just sounds like fun. I mean, we talked a little bit before we got on the actual interview, and I'm definitely a believer of thoughts create reality, clearly, but I'm intrigued and interested to do the experiments anyway, even though I already believe, I just think they're going to be fun to do. So this is a book that would be for skeptics all the way up to people that believe and have seen the law of attraction applying in their life. So, right? So anybody can get something out of this.
Oh, book. Yeah. No, it's perfect for all. And the thing that I'm enjoying so much is people are getting together in groups.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a Facebook group out there that has several hundred members.
Mm-hmm.
There's several different Facebook groups. And there's also groups that are meeting like once a week. I know some of the Unity churches have done it where, they're doing a six-part series or whatever. So once you get together with a group, it's just so much fun, and people are just enjoying it. And that's what I love is that, A, people are getting together and they're communing about this, and, B, they're having such a blast doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's having a blast doing it that makes it work. I mean, anything we want to learn, we want it to be sustainable where we can continue to do it over and over again. And I always like to say, if it's not fun, it's not sustainable. Because, eventually you're going to say, oh, I don't really feel like doing that.
Absolutely.
But this is so much fun that, you continue, you want to do it, you look forward to doing it, it's exciting to do it.
Yeah. So it must be amazing to realize that people are utilizing this book in this way, that you've prompted people to get together into groups and conduct these experiments. It must feel wonderful.
Oh, it does. And every day, I mean, probably one of the most fun things about this book for me is the stories that I hear. In fact, I always like to say that I do believe in these principles, that even if I didn't when I wrote this book, there's no way I could dispute it now because I get so many stories every day. I mean, just the most amazing stories of everything from, people manifesting, $100,000 to, the perfect date to even funny things like this one woman decided she wanted to manifest the word cacophony because I'd written that word in the book. And she said, I'd never heard that before. She was a lawyer, and she says, I'm going to manifest that word again. I mean, she says, here are all my, I think she was in her 50s, my 50 years of life, and I've never heard that word, and now I want to see it again. So she was on her spell check or on her phone or something, how it does that, spell check, and she said, I don't even know what I was doing, but that word came up as her spell check or whatever. So just all kinds of just really fun, entertaining stories, that people have manifested from the book, and very touching stories as well. I mean, I tend to talk about the funny ones, but there's a lot of really touching stories.
I'm sure.
That's really rewarding to me to because as a writer, you sit in your little lonely garret, and you think, well, is anybody reading it? And obviously I know people are reading it. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list for 18 weeks. I mean, so I realize that people are reading it, but to actually hear from people, that's so exciting. And it's like, wow, not only are people reading it, but they're telling me their results, and, it's like this whole tribe, this whole group of new friends that I've got.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic, and I definitely hear what you're saying about being a writer, and you're in the process of, and you're creating something that you don't know if anybody's going to read it, if it's going to hit or not, and then to get that feedback that it has had such a wide impact and is continuing, I'm believing, to grow organically in that impact. That's wonderful. And it kind of goes back to, I know you had a mantra or an affirmation that you have been saying, it sounds like, from your website a long time, and one of it was, to be a writer. Your background is in travel writing, and then you wrote this book. So I'm thinking an example of something that you put out to the universe that you wanted to be a successful writer, not even at that moment having it on your radar that you were going to be in this genre of writing. Or is that not?
Yeah, well, this is my 16th book, and half of them are travel books, and I do a lot of travel writing for various, websites and magazines. And then half of them I've always enjoyed writing about inspirational things. Like, I've got a book out there called Art and Soul about creativity and spirituality. I've got a book called Living Big about the power of one person to make a difference. I've got a book, Jumpstart Your Metabolism, about the breath and how important it is to breathe.
Mm.
So yes, I've been a travel writer, but I started out, I was a feature writer for a newspaper, the Kansas City Star, as I like to point out, that started the careers of Walt Disney and Ernest Hemingway.
Nice.
So I've been a writer, and the nice thing about being a writer is whatever you're interested in, you can, get an assignment and go learn more about it, or, get an assignment to go to a certain town or a certain country, and then you can go write about it.
Mm.
So I think part of what appeals to me about being a writer is that just there are no limits. You know, any new thing you can get interested in. So, yes, I have been a travel writer, and I still am a travel writer, but I've always also been a person that was interested in, you know, self-growth and expansion, and have also written about that pretty extensively. And like I said, my books are, about half of them are travel and half of them are inspirational. In fact, the three books that I did for National Geographic, they came to me and asked me to write those because it's kind of a combination of both. They're about meaningful vacations, so it's about, you know, inspirational things as well as travel. Like one of them's volunteer vacations, which is, of course, a really inspirational topic.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I've always been interested in this topic and have written about it and have also done the travel writing because I love to travel. It was kind of my way to you know, to do what I love to do. You know, you make an intention, I want to travel.
Right.
Well, if you look at my budget, you'd say, well, how's she going to travel? Well, the universe said, okay, I guess we'll make her a travel writer.
I love it.
I mean, it didn't happen quite exactly like that, but kind of, you know, that's sort of what happens.
Yeah, and it's, again, getting back to manifesting, it's about, as you said, putting that intention out and then looking for the ways that it's going to come to you, not having a specific mindset. So somebody said, I want to travel, their mind may be, well, I'm going to travel, so I have to work at a high-paying job to have the money, to have the time off to go and travel. And you just said, I want to travel, and then we're open to how that was going to come to be. And it came to be through writing.
Right, right.
Yeah. So again, that message of just putting out there what you want, but staying open to how it's going to come.
Right, that's exactly right. And know that it's going to come and have that belief that that you get to decide. You know, you get to observe. You know, one of the things in the book's a lot about, you know, quantum physics and how, you know, the observer effect. You cannot look at anything without affecting. I mean, that's just a truth. And that has made science really difficult for scientists because they affect everything by looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so really that's what we're constantly doing. You know, our consciousness is interacting and affecting everything around us. And so by changing our consciousness, by upgrading our consciousness, so to speak, we can, you know, really create a better world for ourselves and for the whole world. I mean, that's my ultimate goal is, you know, change the dominant paradigm.
Yeah. That's what I work for, too. Yeah, each, as I say, one person at a time, each individual at a time.
And we're all connected, so, you know, for like that 100 monkey thing, you know, when enough of us get this, and I think it really is changing. I mean, you know, we look to politics, we look to different things to change the world, and I'm not sure that's how real change is going to happen. I think it's going to happen, you know, one heart and mind at a time, and we're all joining together, and we're all starting to, you know, see the changes in the world, and I think it's shifting, and, you know, I think we're going to bring about amazing changes just through individuals.
I absolutely do, too. And I was just having this conversation with somebody yesterday, exactly this, that if one looks at politics, looks at the state of the world, looks at all the things that are going wrong in the world, then it doesn't look so good. But I don't pay any attention to that. I'm with you. I'm going for one heart, one mind at a time. And the more people that become aware of their ability to create reality and their ability to create a beautiful reality, then you know, it comes to that tipping point of there's enough people of that mindset that it's going to tip into the positive way.
And I see signs of that all over the place. In fact, I hardly even see negative stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And not because I mean, I still watch the news, but I still see positive stuff even in the news.
Yeah.
So
that's the mindset that one has to be in. And again, being in a place of joy, happiness, all of that really helps create and keep keep on the positive side. The glass is half full, not half empty.
Exactly.
That's really what we need to be doing. And you mentioned quantum, which is definitely one of my favorite topics. And for listeners, I don't think I have a lot of skeptics out there, but quantum does prove these facts. It does prove that everything is connected and that the observer does influence reality. And it's science at this point. And I think that's also helping a lot of people to accept it a little bit more. So that's a beautiful thing. So I want to see if you can give an experiment that they can do for themselves.
Well, I think this one has been even posted on the internet, so I'll just go ahead and throw this one out. I mean, I think if you go to Hay House, which is my publisher, they have this one, you know, already up on the internet.
Yeah, I think they do.
But what it is, it's a 48-hour experiment. Most of these experiments are 48 hours. There's a couple, like the Einstein ones I mentioned, that don't take, you know, 48 hours. You can do that immediately. And there's one or two that take a little bit longer than 48 hours. But they're all can be done completely free, you know, no real effort other than just, you know, paying a little bit of attention. But in this one, you know, the principle is that there is you know, that there is this force out there that has your back, so to speak, that mm-hmm. there is this good and benevolent force that wants your good. Mm-hmm. Again, it's been called God throughout the years. But anyway, mm-hmm. so the experiment is, okay, we say, you know what, if this is true, if this is really true that there is this good force that, you know, has, that wants the greater good, that wants my greater good, it will respond if I ask it, and I'm going to give it 48 hours to provide a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, first of all, 48 hours to prove its existence. You know,
mm-hmm.
we want clear, unmistakable proof, and that, you know, that's, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. I want to know, mm-hmm. and I want to know within 48 hours. And secondly, to prove this, I would like to ask for a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, that's the experiment. It's so simple. Just, you know, you write down on the little lab report sheet what time you start the experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say there, now always works for me.
And
so then, you know, within 48 hours, expect to be shown proof that there is this force out there that really does look out after you, and then, you know, ask for a blessing.
Mm-hmm. So is the ask just for a general blessing, or is it something?
Yes, there is an experiment later in the book where I get a little bit more specific, mm-hmm. but on this one, we just want proof. We have no
mm-hmm.
real expectations, but we're going to look for that blessing. We're going to expect to see it.
Yeah, and as you and I know, if you're looking for the blessings, you'll definitely find them. So that I love. I think this experiment's really very concise and something, as you're saying, anybody can do. Start now. You know, time is now for that. So thank you for sharing that. So we are out of time, but I wanted to, of course, get your website out there, and your book can be gotten. Can you get it on your website, pamgrout.com?
No. Okay. I've never gotten into the actual selling of books.
Yeah.
I just write them. But it's available in pretty much any bookstore at this point, and Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. And
great.
I think it's available in the iTunes format. So it's pretty available.
Okay.
So people can find it anywhere. But on my website, pamgrout.com, they can find, you know, about some of my other books or
mm-hmm.
more about me. And then there's also my georgeclooneysslepthere.com
yes.
website about some of my travel writing.
I love that title. Again, very fun. I can tell you really like to keep things light and happy in your life.
I do, indeed.
I think that's definitely a great way to approach life. So, listeners, again, the book is E-Squared, 9 Do-It-Yourself Energy Experiments to Prove Your Thoughts Create Your Reality. Pam says you can get it at most of the major bookstores, iTunes if you want to get an audiobook, probably on Amazon.com, imagining. And then her website is pamgrout.com, and from there's a couple links to some other blogs that she has. So, Pam, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's been just extremely entertaining. And listeners, thank you for tuning in, and be sure to tune in next week.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.